This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block.
Redmond drops straight back, looks, throws, it is caught, touchdown!
Friday night, under the stadium lights.
20-14, Manassas in the midst of a comeback.
This isn't big-time, Big Bucks, Texas high school football. Manassas is an all-black inner-city team from North Memphis, Tennessee. That team's struggles and the unlikely bonds that come of them are revealed in a powerful, at times heartbreaking, new documentary titled Undefeated. It was just nominated for an Oscar, and the film's two directors, Dan Lindsay and T.J. Martin, joined me to talk about it. Dan and T.J., thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Let's talk about this school, Manassas High School in North Memphis, which was known for a while for having a tiny football team, one of the worst in the entire state. It was known as Whipping Boy Manassas. Why? Dan?
Well, for years, Manassas would sell their home berths. They didn't have a home stadium, so they would sell their games to county schools that would pay them to come up and basically get beat. They just got the reputation as being the team you could call on to come and just beat up and make sure you won your homecoming game. And where our story begins is a volunteer coach by the name of Bill Courtney came. And when he arrived, there were only 17 players on the team for a varsity football team. And over the course of the five previous seasons to our film, Bill worked to build this team with other volunteers and make them competitive again.
And for Bill, football is just a vehicle. It's really an opportunity to work with young men and to help groom young men.
Bill is the white volunteer coach, Bill Courtney, and Bill Courtney is at the center of this film. I want to play a scene. He's talking to his team in the locker room at the very beginning of your film, which really sets up what he and the team are up against.
Starting right guard shot, no longer in school. Starting wing linebacker shot, no longer in school. Starting center arrested for shooting somebody in the face with a BB gun. Most coaches, that would be pretty much a career's worth of crap to deal with. I think that sums up the last 2 weeks for me.
How did this guy, he's a wealthy businessman in Memphis, how did he become this driving force for an inner-city football team?
Previously to being a businessman, Bill taught and coached football at a high school. And so he's kind of just a naturally born coach and something that he's always loved to do. And so, he found a need at this high school and he went over and started coaching. I mean, for Bill, it's always, as he says, there was never an agenda. It was just that he likes coaching football and there was a program that needed him.
He's also a natural-born salesman.
Yeah.
He's probably the most charismatic person I've ever met in my entire life.
Everybody says when you get these inner-city kids down, they'll lay over and you'll beat them by 40. Not us. Everybody will say they're 0-1. They're going to fold up camp. They'll be 2-8 by the end of this thing. No! Not us. You walk with your chins up. I am proud to be a Manassas Tiger on this field night because my guys did lay down. They got heart. Now let's put our mind with our heart and our bodies and let's finish this thing this year.
When we say that North Memphis is an inner city neighborhood, why don't you describe a bit of what it looks like? You show scenes of North Memphis in the beginning of the film and it's really, really striking.
One of the teachers at the school told us after we were there for a couple months this quote, which I think is the perfect way to describe it. He said, "North Memphis looks like New Orleans after the flood. We just never had a flood." And, I mean, visually,
It's the best way to describe it, yeah.
It's, there are, kind of shotgun houses and empty lots and
Trash everywhere. Dogs kind of roaming around.
So you moved to Memphis to do this. How long were you there?
We moved there in July of 2009 and moved back to L.A. in April of 2010, so 9 months,
I guess. Roughly 9 months, yeah.
What was your process for getting into this community and being there for really, really intimate moments at times?
TJ and I were the crew. We didn't hire a sound mixer, boom operator. We were so small, I think quickly people just forgot that we were there. We became an extension of the team.
Funny enough, like even 3 months in the process, one of the kids came up to us and said, "So who's going to play me in the movie?" And we're like, no, this is the movie. We're making the movie.
It was never good for us either when the local news would come to do like a story on OC and the bigger
cameras
with like big mics and everything would show up and, they'd look at us like, "See, I told you those guys didn't know what they were doing."
You focus on three key players on the football team, and one of them
is O.C. Brown, massive, 6'3", 315 pounds. And he, as he admits it in the film, is not the smartest kid in the world. but he has big plans, right? He sees football as his way out of North Memphis, only if he can get his grades up. What happens, TJ?
That was the story that initially drew us to Memphis. And what we thought was interesting about his storyline specifically was that he kind of navigated these two seemingly disparate communities. You know, he spent part time in North Memphis, and then he would spend the week in East Memphis with his coach trying to get his grades up.
Well, let's explain that, because he's living with his coach, his white coach, in an affluent part of the city, getting tutored there because they're worried that the tutors wouldn't come to his neighborhood in North Memphis, right?
Yeah, sure. Mike Ray, the volunteer coach that O.C. lived with, him and Bill searched around and tried to find a tutor that would go to North Memphis, and they couldn't find anybody. And so they just, for them, the logical next step was, well, he can just live with us. You know, it was never, as they explained it. And, you know, even going in and doing the film, we thought, like, oh, this is going to be something we really need to explore. What are their motivations? Why are they doing this? And, like, it just very quickly revealed itself to us that it wasn't anything other than this seems like the thing to do.
So there's O.C. Brown. There's another character, Montrell Brown, a senior known as Money, who is really smart and thoughtful, also has big dreams and is really sort of the emotional core of the movie in a lot of ways.
Money was one of the first people we met when we went there to look at doing the story of O.C. And we walked in the school with Bill, and Money was waiting by the locker room for Bill to open it up so they could go into the weight room. He was the only player there, and I was like, who is that guy? So we, you know, one of the first things we did, we put a mic on him, and we went to his house and said, you know, show us around. And he brought us around to the side of the house and showed us his pet turtles.
That's my favorite animal, actually, because it's like, turtles is like a human being to me, because it's like, they got to be hard on the outside, but they really soft on the inside. You know, just skin and bones.
It was really interesting because I don't think he realized he was talking about himself.
Yeah,
I think he was talking about people in the neighborhood. And you kind of come to realize in the film that he was really talking about himself.
I wonder if there was a sort of an uncomfortable racial component of this, too. You have, you know, the white coach, wealthy white coach coming in to volunteer at an all-black school, kind of like a white savior. And then, of course, the questions of what happens when he leaves? What about all the other kids in the school?
The racial dynamic wasn't something that anyone ever talked about on the team. You know, Bill happened to be white, but he was their coach. And it happened to be an all-African-American school, and they were his players. And it wasn't something that anyone really talked about or cared about. And so,
very circumstantial.
Yeah. And so for us, we were like, we just can't, and then we're never going to bring that up in the film because that's not what their experience is.
We never set out to make a film that was kind of an issues-based film. We really wanted to make a film that was a human interest piece. With that said, we never shied away from showing kind of the class dynamics and the race dynamics in that community. So hopefully, if you get swept away in the personal story and the human interest aspect of the story, we're hoping that at the very least it actually inspires a greater dialogue about race and class issues after the fact. Hopefully it's just the beginning of that conversation.
Dan Lindsay and T.J. Martin directed the new documentary titled Undefeated. Dan and T.J., thanks so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.